Support for The Common comes from Bluey's Big Play. Join Bluey, Bingo, Bandit, and Chili in their first ever live stage show, a fun-filled show made for the whole family at the Box Center Wang Theater, May 18th and 19th. Tickets at boxcenter.org. Support for The Common comes from the law firm of Davis Malm. Whether you're a private business, a public company, a municipality, a nonprofit, or in-house counsel, their business attorneys help achieve your short and long-term goals. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Erica Adams, editor for Eater Boston, I have a question for you. To what restaurant in the Boston area would you give a Michelin star, or two, or three?
Damn, I was not expecting this. Okay.
It's what we do, baby.
I know. Okay. So last time I was on, I talked about this restaurant called Mooncusser that I had a really nice meal at. And if Boston had a Michelin guide, I could see this restaurant as a one-star Michelin spot. It reminds me a lot of the one-star Michelin dining that I did in New York. And it just has that like perfect blend of, you know, it's a little fine dining, but it's experimental. It's not that high priced. The kitchen is clearly having a lot of fun back there and doing really experimental things. And it feels like a one Michelin star spot.
So shout out to Mooncusser. And where is Mooncusser again?
So Mooncusser is in Back Bay.
Back Bay. Okay. I have to go check that out. I'm overdue because we did talk about this before. I do remember. But Erica, we are not here to talk about Mooncusser, right?
We are not.
We are here to talk about an article you wrote last month where you answered the question, why doesn't Boston have any Michelin stars? Before we get into it, because I'm excited to talk about this, tell us about the Michelin Guide and why it's so prestigious.
Yes, the Michelin Guide. It's a very famous restaurant rating system now. It's usually connected to like the echelons of fine dining. It's the system, like when I talk about restaurant ratings, to people who don't necessarily always follow the food scene, you know, in the way that I do as the editor of Eater, they know about the Michelin Guide. You know, they might not have heard of James Beard. They might not have heard of some of these other award systems that exist in the industry, but a lot of people know about the Michelin Guide. It's owned by Michelin, the French tire company, with the inflatable white mascot called the Michelin Man. This is the same company as the one that does the Michelin Guide. They launched the guidebook in the early 1900s as a marketing tool for their tires. You know, it was to encourage people to go out on road trips and drive around and check out restaurants and hotels and use those tires. The guide started to get more popular as decades went on, and then they introduced this ranking system to the book where we get the Michelin stars. And, you know, over decades, it really took off into this behemoth that it is now. You know, it's an international restaurant guide and ranking system. And so now in cities that the Michelin Guide covers, anonymous restaurant reviewers go around and they rank restaurants on a 1 to 3 star scale. And then they publish a list every year of which restaurants got stars, how many they got. There's this big award ceremony in the cities where they do publish the guide. You know, it's very big within the industry.
So, Erica, we're talking about this because a reader asked you a question about this for the Ask Eater column, right? Tell me, what did you find in answering them?
Yes. And I want to preface this too by saying the reason why I wanted to do this story was because I'm fairly new in this job, right? Like about 6 months old. And, you know, when I would tell people what I do now in Boston, I kept getting this response of like, Boston's actually got a really great food scene, you know, contrary to the stereotypes, we've all heard them. Boston's food scene is so boring, blah, blah, blah. And can you believe that Boston doesn't have any Michelin stars? And, you know, the way that it was being prefaced to me by surprised people who were saying this was that these two things are intertwined, right? Like this stereotype of Boston being a boring food city and Michelin, like, not ranking restaurants here, not deigning to look at Boston. So I was like, wait a minute, you know, it's not really that Michelin doesn't think Boston's restaurants are worthy of a guide being published here. You know, this is a business. Michelin is a publicly traded tire company. Tourism boards pay for Michelin to launch new guides in their cities. This happened in California. This happened in Florida. So I thought it was a worthy story to kind of get that out there. Like, why doesn't Boston have a Michelin guide? It's not that Boston doesn't have great restaurants. It's that Boston's tourism board hasn't paid for it.
Is it fair to call this a pay-for-play situation?
You know what? I would say that is how Meet Boston characterized it when I spoke with them for this story. So they used those words for that. So,
yeah, tell me about their reasons for, I guess, not paying to play.
Yeah. In their view, it was a lot of money for what would potentially be only showcasing a small sliver of Boston's restaurants.
Yeah.
Potentially, like, furthering the stereotypes that we already, you know, are combating against Boston scene, that it's really one note, or it's really, you know, it's all pasta and lobster rolls. And, you know, they were really worried about that. They were worried about it only focusing on, like, you know, the North End and Back Bay. And, like, yeah, not kind of expanding the scene in the way that they wanted from an advertising standpoint.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Bandit and Chili are coming to a theatre near you.
Do you want to play musical statues with us?
Join the Healers in their first ever live stage show, Bluey's Big Play.
Look, Mom, Dad's playing with us.
A fun-filled show made for the whole family. It's Bluey brought to real life. Book now for Bluey's Big Play. We can't wait to see you there.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. What do the local chefs themselves think about this?
You know, I saw differing responses. I saw some chefs commenting on Instagram that was like, it was good that Meet Boston didn't want to pay to have Michelin Guide come in here. We didn't need them. You know, Boston doesn't need them anyways. They like to see Meet Boston taking that stand. Other chefs felt differently. I since learned after the story came out that a group of chefs got together and approached Meet Boston to kind of reopen the conversation around, like, wait a minute, maybe it is beneficial for the industry to have Michelin here. You know, in their view, Michelin is a huge tourism driver, especially with international tourism. It brings a lot of dollars into restaurants. And then it also has an impact on talent within the industry and Boston's ability to attract chef talent and retain chef talent here.
Damn. So would the Michelin Guide make that much of a difference in boosting our reputation?
I don't know the answer to that. I can say, you know, from an eater perspective and just, you know, with the stories that the network does, Michelin coverage is always very popular with our readers. And so, like, people clearly are clicking on these guides, you know, would want to see the restaurant rankings, want to see those systems. Eater also ran a story about Vancouver. They recently got a restaurant guide within the past year or two, and kind of the impact on the restaurant scene after the guide came in. And, you know, it's not all positive. Restaurants are kind of really scrambling. Some of the places, once they got on the guide, you know, it really blew up their books.
Mm-hmm.
There's good and bad with it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so we don't have the Michelin Guide folks coming here to rate our restaurants, but we do have other awards, right? What are some other awards we should be aware of?
Sure. So we've got James Beard. And then on the local level, you know, all the big media outlets do some form of restaurant recognition and awards every year. So, of course, Boston Magazine have Best of Boston. I love to see that list every year. Boston Globe, Devra First rates, you know, best new restaurants and her best dining experiences at the end of the year every year. And that's really exciting to see. And then, of course, Eater has its own award systems. We do best new restaurants in the fall. Yeah, just the more attention on Boston's restaurants, the better, and the better to, like, combat these stereotypes that exist.
I guess prior to this conversation, if you would have told me a restaurant got a Michelin star, I would have been like, oh, okay, I need to go check that place out, right? Is that really necessary, especially when there are other outlets, local outlets, that are telling us what restaurants are good to eat at, you know?
Yes, I love that observation. And I think, you know, that answer is going to be different for everyone. You know, some people really like following the Michelin Guide as they travel around to different cities. And that's their restaurant, you know, ranking system that they go to first. But I think, like, having come from reporting in New York and seeing the stars come out every year, it was fun to watch that. But that was just like one sliver of like one outlet's opinion of the restaurant scene there. And it's not like the end all of like what a good restaurant is. Michelin is not the one arbiter of, you know, saying that.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that too. Like, is every restaurant they rate with a star, right? Are they hits, or is it just like you said, like just one person's perspective, right? You might try this 1 or 3-star restaurant and be like, this food is trash, you know?
Yes, yes, you can absolutely still have that experience. And I have. And I think that's part of restaurant rankings overall. Like, it's so subjective. And Michelin is not any better than any one other group at doing that, you know? I mean, some people might think that they are. I don't know. But, you know, maybe you would rather hear from Devra First about her list, right? Because she's been in Boston scene for decades, and she's been reviewing restaurants here for a decade. Maybe somebody else does want to look at Michelin's because they did have a good experience at a 1 or 2-star or 3-star restaurant in some other city. And so they want to see what Michelin has to say here. It's very subjective and, you know, everyone has an opinion about it.
Well, you know what, Erica? I trust you more than the Michelin Guide. So there's that.
Oh, Daryl, thank you.
And I give this interview, if I had to, I give this interview 3 Michelin stars. Boom.
Wow. Wow. Such high praise.
Well, Erica, thank you so, so much for coming through to The Common. As always, this has been awesome.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you wanted to talk about this. I had a great time.
That's editor for Eater Boston, Erica Adams. And that is our show for today. Thank you so very much for listening to The Common. What's your favorite restaurant? Michelin star or no Michelin star? Who cares? Let us know. Hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.